Welcome back for part two of my conversation with Christina from Rooted Home Life. We had a great conversation in part one, Christina, about your journey, your transition from being a full-time teacher in a public school to then a teacher in a private school so you could maybe have more time with your kids. And then, like, now you're one by one pulling them out of the school. You've pulled the last kid out of the school because by this point, you have decided you're fully homeschooling. Where are we? Continue the story there. How did you get to fully homeschooling?
So we have two home.
Okay.
I have one still in. And ironically enough, it was the one that was with me most in the day because I had him for homeroom. And for the first block of the day, it was my now 12-year-old. And my husband got another job. And this is March. And I am like, I can be loyal to a fault. So like I said, I was going to be there the whole year. I'm going to be there the whole year, even if it kills me. Right. And my husband is like, no, like you're going to come home. And I was like, I can't, what? Like, I can't do that. Like, no, you can go and I'll finish out the year and then I'll go home. And this is wonderful. Like, praise God. Right. Brandon, my husband got a job that like doesn't even make sense that he got it. It's just crazy. It was such a God thing. He was making, like, I was like, there's no way he's going to find a job that makes enough money for me to feel like I just quit everything and come home full time. Like, it's just not responsible, right? Is my thought process. Like, we have a family of seven. Things are expensive, right? Like, there's just no way. Well, God made a way.
He does that. He's good at it. Yeah.
The Lord made a way. And I was like, so can you tell them?
Literally. Can you talk to my boss for me, honey? I really don't know if I can.
He did. He basically went and told them, like, I got a new job. So he did tell them that he was, like, looking, but it wasn't, like, we didn't know it was going to be. We wanted them to have a heads up that, like, we probably weren't coming back the following year. So we didn't want to, like, just totally, you know, hit him with it at the end of the year. Like, hey, by the way, we're not coming back. So he was kind of, like, talking with the principal and letting him know, like, hey, like, my goal is really to for Christina to be able to be home and not working and stuff like that. And the principal was understanding, definitely disappointed, but very understanding. And then I was like, well, you didn't tell him that we were going to just go. Like, he's going to have to figure something out for the end of the school year. And he was like, they'll figure it out. Okay. And so, yeah, he told them.
So this was, I guess, the 2021 summer. You're leaving permanently, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're fully home. It's summer 2021. You're homeschooling all the way. You're doing this thing. How'd you figure out what you were doing?
Well, so the ironic thing about all of this is that, so that school only went up to eighth grade.
Okay.
Technically, my oldest would have been in ninth grade. But they also had honors classes that were ninth grade credits. So what we actually ended up doing was choosing to enroll him and have him come. And then for those subjects that I felt like he did need more, I was actually still kind of homeschooling him for that. So many of the things were a God thing. Even us going to that school, I knew was the Lord, which looking at the time, I was like, God, like, I know we heard you right. I know that you opened all those doors. It was so clear. We gave you so many specific things that we needed to see you do to know that it was you and you did them. Like, so this really is confusing in a way, you know? And my husband, once again, is like, God is not confusing. Like, you're making it confusing because you had it planned out a different way in your head. And I was like, he's like, we were here for a season, right? Like, looking back now, like, we still have friends that we met there that are like super close family friends of ours and things like that. God definitely had us there for the season that he had us there. But yeah, so I still kind of had my hands in homeschooling because I was still doing that stuff with my oldest son. And it actually worked out. Like, another God thing is I always actually felt like I should have waited a year to put him in. He was always almost a full year younger. He has a really late birthday in November. So I always felt like, man, I made the wrong decision.
Sure.
So it was like, okay, God, like, we're going to even this out a little bit. Like, he's going to be in the grade that I actually always wished that he was in. But he's so super smart that I just want to make sure that, like, he's getting what he needs academically and being challenged and all of those things. And so we never, like, fully stopped homeschooling, if that makes sense. And so it was actually a crazy easy transition. It really was, because it was like, I was like, I could breathe. I was like, yes, like, we're really doing this. I was almost in shock. Like, I don't have to go to work. I don't have to teach online. And here we are. It was like we had a new lease on life. I was like free like a bird, you know? And so we just jumped back into a lot of the things that we loved when we were homeschooling, you know, into our unit studies and read alouds and painting and just getting outside.
So this is the stuff where I really want to understand how you, because look, you know, we just started homeschooling, right?
Yes, and I'm so excited for you.
I know. And you know what's funny, too, is like, you may not realize it, but you, every, all of the whole Made to Homeschool team, but like you have been a part of that, right? All of you, one, like just sharing all your advice and ideas with people when they ask in the community and everything like that. And then just talking to you guys in meetings and learning your stories, but watching you guys and I guess your stories as well, like so many of you in so many situations have made so many sacrifices and jumped through so many hoops and trusted God in such big ways that it was an encouragement to our faith that if this is what we believe God was calling us to do, like we could do it, like we could figure it out. And so thank you for that. Like you've been a part of that journey for us.
Aww.
But one of the things that we're struggling with, no, one of the things we're getting to explore right now is what are we doing, right? Like what, you know, you're like, okay, we're doing these unit studies and this thing and the other thing. And we're okay for right now. Like we were halfway through the year. So we've got his consumables, like his workbooks and stuff for third grade. Brielle's a little simpler because she's five. And it's like, well, let's teach, if we can teach her to read, that's a win, right? Like we're doing a good thing. Cool. So like, fine. We're okay right now. But it's like, well, even using these workbooks from the private Christian school, like, well, what do we like about this? What do we not like about this? What might we want to do differently next year? Do we want to use this? I've already chucked one of them out the window. He's got this like penmanship thing he didn't like at all. I straight up just found the thing online where I could paste the first chapter of the book of James in there. And like, he's just copying that for like cursive practice. And it's like so much better. Like, it's great. So like, we're learning what we're doing along the way. It's a process. And I know we'll be learning for years. I want, so, and this is actually really interesting to me because it's like, what kind of homeschooler are you kind of thing, right? Happens. Maybe let's do this, Christina. What kind of homeschooler are you? How did you figure that out?
So it's kind of a hard question for me because I'm tempted to just say eclectic, but I feel like it's like everyone uses that word. So it's like, what even is that?
It's like and saying you go to a non-denominational church.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We started out with unit studies. Like that was our first, we started out total unit studies. Cause one thing that I knew when we first started out, and this is like when we first started out, is that I didn't want everybody doing their own thing. That's the one thing I learned when everyone was like on the computers doing their own thing. I was like, ew, like everyone's in like a different corner of the house. So I definitely wanted the opposite of that. So I liked how the unit studies was like, and I prayed and I asked the Lord to show me what to use. And then I found this thing and I was like, this is exactly what I prayed for. And so things where we can do as much of the learning together as possible, and then people can branch out for what they need from there individually, has always been like a really super important part of it for me. Like as much as we can be together, as much as we can discuss and talk to each other, like history doesn't have a grade level. Like someone just decided this is the period of history you learn in this grade.
That's so funny you say that because I'm like trying to figure out what to do for social studies. I'm like, you know what? This homeschool pop video about George Washington would be really good for him. And so I'm just going to show him that. And then we're going to talk about it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if it's the right grade level, but it worked.
Yeah. If he's learning about history, then it works, right? Like we don't sit down as adults and like decide we're going to have to start here. Otherwise, nothing's going to make sense. Like, that's not real. You could watch a documentary about a time period in history, and then it might spark your interest of like, no, now I want to know what happened before that, because they do things. And then your own interest has you wanting to learn more about what happened before that. You know, so it really, like, it's a continual mind-blowing experience. Like, once you start homeschooling, it just happens over and over and over again that you're like, thinking so far outside the frameworks of like that you didn't even know were there, like these frameworks of education that you didn't even realize were in place. You're like, oh yeah, that one can go and that one I don't need. And like that one's nonsense, you know? And maybe you're like, well, this one can say I like this one. This one works, you know? But like so many of the other ones, you're like, yeah, no.
So wait, would you say that you are an unschool leaning eclectic homeschooler?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
So what does that mean,
More and Christina? More every day.
Tell me what that means.
That's the problem with unschooling. I feel like it's very hard to explain. Mm. But I can give, I guess I can just give examples of it. Like today, like a real thing that happened today is my son was doing his math, which doesn't happen every day. So many people would probably be like, what? Doesn't happen every day. Like today is one of those days, like we had skiing and snowboarding all day yesterday. So Thursdays, I'm usually like, all right, guys, we're doing math. We're doing language arts. Like we're cracking down today, right? And so my 16-year-old's doing his language arts with, his math with Nicole the math lady, who he loves. Like he's very serious about Nicole the math lady. And he's like, Mom, when am I ever going to need to divide polynomials? And I was like, this is today, Brandon. Okay. And I'm like, I don't even know what a polynomial is. Okay. Never.
It has multiple variables. Okay. I think that's what it is. I don't. That's some Algebra 2 stuff. You know, what's funny is like, I'm with you on that. And actually I have made the maybe controversial statement. I don't think that if a kid's not going to go into a STEM field, if he's not going to be an engineer or some type of scientific field, mm-hmm. Why? Like, I use algebra on a regular basis, honestly, figuring out how many seats you need for this event. That's algebra.
Right.
Past that, and geometry for building stuff for fun.
Yeah.
I've never used anything past algebra 2 as an adult ever.
So I said almost exactly that, Brandon. I said, you know, I can't defend this. Like, I can't, in good conscience, defend, like, never. Like, no, probably never. And what I'm realizing more and more is it's like, okay, there are some fields where that is useful.
100%, yes.
Everyone learning it, though, right? Like, why is everyone, especially those people that are never going to use it, their brain doesn't work that way? Why are they suffering through years of this? This is awful. Like, when you really actually start to think about it, you know? So some exposure, some basic knowledge, right? Like, I actually said to him, I said, beyond basic algebra, we might be done. And he's like, after this course, can I just be done? Can I just do like business math? Because he wants to have his own business. And I was like, yeah. Like I, in real time, am like deciding if he's even finishing this course, right? Because again, like I'm a finisher. Like, yes, we'll wrap up the course. And I'm like, but do we really need to do that? Do we really need to go any further into this math? Or are we like wasting his time? The kid literally is in my backyard right now taking apart an engine.
I see. And he... I was just having this conversation with somebody today. He can do that for his life and make really good money and have no student debt.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh yeah,
if you want to talk, about math. How about the math of student loans not being worth the jobs you get? So, like, I so love everything you're saying. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little excited, but like, I think that's tremendous. And so you're adjusting what you're doing on the fly. And so the unschooling is like just getting away from this preconditioned idea of educational structure that was designed around the Prussian system in the 1890s to create good factory workers. That's a whole other conversation. But I want to know, because you've hit a few things here, if I can come back to what's happening in your heart through all this, because you said a few times, and I'm going to use your word, this is not my word, you described your response to certain situations as bratty in part one a few times, and that's kind of what got us here. I want to hear about what the Lord's doing in your heart through those things, but right after we go for a quick break, we'll be right back.
I finally found the absolute perfect math for our homeschool.
Apologia.
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 I'm so excited to finally find the right math for us.
It's very hands-on. There's games and activities.
It's all about hands-on learning, engaging, short, to the point lessons.
It has games pretty much, it seems like, every lesson to introduce. It has usually like little games or something like hands-on.
It has a 4-day week schedule, 4 days a week. I love 4 days a week for math.
I like the mastery approach with a little bit of spiral in there. It's got a little bit of spiral review, which is really nice too.
I finally found like the perfect math curriculum.
Visit apologia.com/math to find the math curriculum both you and your kids will love.
Christina, while we were in that break, you said something, because I was asking you about your faith and I was going to ask you to talk about it more, but you said something about your husband. That I love it. You said he has big faith. And that came up in the context of talking about this transition, homeschooling, how he believed it could happen, how God would take care of it and all this. And obviously he did. Can you tell me about all of that in the transition and then in the early days of homeschooling? What was God doing in your heart? How was he changing faith?
I feel like in so many ways, honestly, in so many ways, like realizing that I did always have faith in God and I saw his hand in things, but I also didn't fully trust that he was going to provide. Like, I believed he provided my job, right? But like, I was doing the hard work of my job and bringing home the paycheck. I wasn't willing to be like, oh, okay, then here's the job, Lord. And without seeing how you're going to provide, like, I trust you. Like, I need to see, like, I believe that God can do it, but then, like, I need to see up front, like, how the numbers line up.
Yeah, God, I trust you, but can you please provide for me a ledger of the account? Yeah,
exactly. Exactly, where my husband is like, no, like we walk by faith, and I'm like, but is that responsible? Like, is this wisdom? This is me always in every conversation.
That's so funny.
Like, there's faith and then there's like foolishness. Like, how do we know that we're not being foolish? Like, how do we know that we're still being wise? Because on paper, people would think we're nuts. Absolutely nuts.
So were you being logical or fearful?
Both, probably. I sometimes wonder, don't get me down this rabbit trail, because I sometimes wonder like how much logic you can have along with your faith, because logic can really get in the way of it sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as thinking people, he's like given us the ability and the gift to be wise.
Yes.
But yeah, there's all that like thinking you're so wise that like you know better, or you can figure it out, or you should be able to figure it out in order to like submit or surrender or obey, which has been a huge theme in our family at least the last year, probably more like 2 or 3 years, about like this idea of like what really is obedience. Which I don't know really how we got here, Brandon, but maybe we'll talk about it.
I mean, it's fine. I think it's interesting because people talk about, people outside the church, and maybe me, you know, 20 years ago, would talk about how you kind of check your brain at the door when you start following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not true, right? And you would say, I was coming at it from a critical, logical standpoint on these things, right? And I think the line we try to walk as Christians, and I think you guys and we would both fall in the same bucket of like people who, not just Christians, but like people who want to have the kind of faith we read of in Scripture. People who want to trust God with big, radical things, but y'all, that's scary. And we're trusting God with something literally supernatural means we can't plan for it. How does that match up with logic? And I think somewhere in there, the answer is something like, God's not going to guide you to something that doesn't align with his word. Like, there's that.
Right.
But it's really hard. And so mm-hmm. you're finding yourself in that place is what you're saying for this whole story.
Yeah. I mean, just not being able to see, it really is a lack of faith. Like, that's what you were pulling out of me, Brandon. Now I can see it, right? Like, it really is a lack of faith, right? Because, like, do you believe that he can do it or not, even if you don't see ahead of time, right? Because like the evidence of things not seen, like that's mm-hmm. what faith is, right? Like the substance of things hoped for, the evidence
Preach.
Of things. So if you can't see it, then it requires faith. If you can see it, then it doesn't, right?
Yeah, but I think that struggle, but your struggle you were in, Christina, I think was the right place though. Because yeah. we are also given brains, right? God wants us to figure some stuff out sometimes, otherwise we wouldn't have a brain. And like, I think that struggle is how we learn to understand the voice of God better.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we're going to do the wrong thing. And I think if we don't have that, if we don't wrestle a little bit, then I think that's where some people, again, outside the church, get away with saying, oh, well, it's easy to just say, I trust God and live your life like whatever. And if it doesn't work out, that was his will. Well, that's not faith. That's, I think, like you said, that's foolishness, right? It's just frivolity. It's just going with the whims of your heart, and the heart is deceptive above all things, and we shouldn't do that. And mm-hmm. so I love that what you're describing, and I know, okay, you used the term bratty, right? And you talked about like lack of faith. I don't know. I think what you're describing is what any reasonable human Christian people following Jesus with all their hearts would actually struggle with in the car with their husband and wife, like, you know, like trying to figure this thing out. I think what you did was human, was normal.
Thanks, Brandon. I appreciate that.
Well, no, I just don't want you to think like I'm trying to point out like you had a lack of faith or something. I don't know, man. We're moving to a whole different part of the state. We had no idea what God was going to do. And here we are, and we're trusting him in big, crazy ways, but it was also really scary. And we've been wrestling with a lot of things, too. So I'm sorry. I'm not trying to take your story from you.
No, it's good because I've actually learned through this process, like even as you're talking, I guess one of the things that I learned is now when I hear stuff like that, I'm immediately excited for you. Instead of being like, wow, that's really scary, because I've seen like so much that God's done that has seemed really scary and really like, oh my gosh, are we really doing this? And then getting on the other side of it and just being like completely blown away, like looking back even at, like there's so much more to the stories, right? Like there's always so much nuance and so many other things that happen. Looking back, I'm like, wow, God, like only you could have orchestrated that, because I had no idea. Like that was not my orchestration whatsoever, right? And so when I hear like what's happening with your family, I'm just immediately excited because I'm like, wow, God's doing something. Like when a major shift like that takes place, like God is doing something.
Yeah, like he's amazing. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
No, I said it just has his fingerprint all over it. Like that's how he does things. You know?
Like they have like start dates once a month where she's going to be working. And it just happens to be the day after her maternity leave ends, where she is now. When like literally, we didn't plan what the day the baby came, right? Because we didn't know this job was going to happen. And we wanted to move where we're moving now 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. But then we both felt the Lord was saying, no, you should have another baby. We had no idea that we're supposed to have another baby. And then immediately, like, it's crazy, Christina. There's so many things.
So good.
But we're trusting God and we're stepping into something that's totally different and totally crazy. And you did the same thing. And you're homeschooling. So let's go back to 2021. And you're figuring out what is right for you and your family. You're learning that maybe you're an unschooler, you just didn't know it yet. And along the way, wrestling kind of with just trusting God in the process. Somewhere in there, Christina, I guess you decided, God put in your heart, I don't know, I'm going to ask you to tell me, you were supposed to be a social media influencer.
Oh my gosh.
So like, what happened?
So I got on Instagram because I didn't know any homeschoolers.
Okay.
So initially, like, that's another thing that's so funny when I look back at it. Like when people ask me like advice about social media or YouTube, I'm like, guys, like I didn't have like a plan in place. Like I got on social media in order to like follow other people that were homeschooling, because I like didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't know any homeschoolers. I didn't know anyone who homeschooled. At the time it was like, people don't homeschool in New York. Like it's just not a thing here. Now I have found community, praise God. But at the time it was like I needed made to homeschool when I first started homeschooling. Like because I didn't know anyone in real life. I didn't even know anyone to talk to like this about homeschooling. It was like, I'm just going to follow people on Instagram and like hope to learn something. I'm going to, you know, find people on YouTube. And so I just went on there and like I started sharing things because like I shared, or I think at least mentioned earlier, I very quickly was passionate about homeschooling and just like really loved it. So I would get excited and share stuff. And then I just little by little just started sharing more and more, and people started like following me and stuff. And I was like, oh, like more people are following me on Instagram, right? Like I didn't really know much about Instagram.
So this wasn't strategic.
No, I don't even think there were like Instagram stories when I started. Like Instagram was totally different. Like I just, you know, there was like homeschool flatlays and stuff. I don't know. Like you would take a picture of like the stuff on your homeschool table. And,
oh, I know. I've seen what you've done. Oh, I know.
I guess I still do that. And I like, it's not how Instagram works anymore, but I still do it because I like it. That's kind of, we've talked about this, right, Brandon? Like how I'm just like, I just do what I like. And yeah. And so the YouTube thing was my husband and my son. My husband and my oldest son were like, you should start a YouTube channel. Like once my Instagram started to like gain a little bit of popularity, and like if I say a little bit, I'm like, I remember hitting 1,000 followers and be like, what? Like 1,000 people are following me on Instagram? Like this is crazy, right? They're like, you should totally do a YouTube channel. I'm like, guys, like, you know how awkward I am. Like, you know, like even my husband would be like, you're so beautiful. But as soon as I start to take your picture, you start doing weird stuff. And it's true. Like, I just do like a really weird smile. And I just look really awkward. I'm like, you have to catch me candid. There's no way I could do a YouTube channel. Like, I don't want to listen to myself talk. Like, at this point on Instagram, I'm not even sure how much I showed myself. Like I'm saying, I was showing homeschool stuff. I was showing like a beautiful place we were homeschooling and our stuff on a picnic blanket. And like, I'm not sure how much I was even in it. Maybe every once in a while.
That's so interesting. So when did that shift? Well, when did YouTube start?
I think I'm at 3 years now. I think it was definitely January. So it's funny because here we are in January around the 20 something.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been like, I'm at 3 years now.
So like January 2021?
Maybe. Yeah.
Were you still at the school?
Yes.
And you were doing YouTube homeschool stuff?
Yes.
While you're still at the school?
Yeah.
And gosh, that couldn't have helped your loving to be at school. That was like probably adding to the fuel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hard.
I was pro homeschooling. Like even when I was teaching, I was like, I didn't say it, but I was kind of still like, yeah, I still think homeschooling's better. But this is what the word has been doing, so.
There you go. And you're to talk about what you're passionate about. And one of the things you just mentioned was a flat lay. Now, I knew what you meant when you said it, but I got to tell you, that's not a term I've ever said out loud in my life. So like, you do that. Is that the second? You also taught me months ago what the term macrame meant. I had no idea what macrame was. You taught me things.
I can't see it, but I have macrame like about a foot to the left here hanging on my
macrame.
Always, yeah.
I don't have macrame, but I love that you do. And I've joked with you before about like how your Instagram and your whole social media presence, there's a certain vibe about it. And I think it ties into the whole nature schooling thing. And it sounds like you started exploring what that looked like before you knew it was a thing. Because you guys are going to the woods and the mountains like in the middle of the day while COVID's happening. I think I want to ask you, my guess is that's just who you are in the first place. I want to dive into that. What led you to doing that in the first place? When you started learning it was a thing, how did you implement it? Why is it for some people? Is it for everybody? What does it mean? We're going to do that, though, in part three. So if you want to hear what she says about that, guys, and there's a lot more beside that, make sure you come back next week for part three. Subscribe if you haven't. We'll see you then.